There is no doubt that the Big 12 Conference disappointed in the NCAA tournament. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. Thanks for being here and joining us as a part of the show. We appreciate you guys hopping on and talking some Big 12 and NCAA tournament hoops. If you are new or if you're just here, make sure you're subscribed to the show if you have not yet. And also be sure to hit that thumbs up. It's not just a way to tell us you like the show. It's a way to tell YouTube you like the show. And I know you love us, but YouTube needs to know that you love us. So hit that thumbs up. Thank you guys for being here as we get set to talk about what was a disappointing first weekend in the Big 12 tournament. If you had told me we'd only get two teams in the Sweet 16, I would have said that's a bust. I would have told you that's disappointing to me. I expected coming in three, maybe four if I was feeling generous, Big 12 teams to end up in the Sweet 16, and we didn't get that. We only got two. But what it also tells me is that it became pretty obvious at the end of the season that there were two really good elite teams in this conference, and then there was like a lot of teams that could beat each other on any given night. Team 3 through team 11 or 12 could beat the other teams in any given night, and that's just kind of how it was in this conference down the stretch. So I can't say I'm sitting here surprised based on what this season was in the Big 12 and how this year ended. That being said, I'm also sitting here saying to myself, it's disappointing because all year long, what did we talk about? Best college basketball conference in America. Not even close. This is the conference that is going to clearly show out in the NCAA tournament. The most depth, best strength of schedule. The Big 12 is going to dominate. And it just didn't happen. And I can admit that that means it was a bust of a tournament. Now, I know when it comes to one and done March Madness craziness, the best teams don't always win. But I look at most of the Big 12 games and I'm like, you know what? The better team won on that day. It's not like the Big 12 lost multiple games on wild buzzer beaters. They just got beat by better teams. That's what happened to the Big 12 conference. So as much as, you know, I love this league, there's nothing I love more than Big 12 sports, especially football and basketball, but the Big 12 didn't show up in the NCAA tournament. It did not have itself a good run. And for those of us that, you know, genuinely hoped for three to four teams in this thing come the Sweet 16, it's a total dud. But we did get the two best. We got an Iowa State team that just kept getting better and better and better as the season went on. And then we have a Houston team that has been elite since day one. A Houston team that a lot of us thought when they got to the Big 12, they wouldn't be going 30-4. They'd come back down to earth. They would go 20-10. No, they didn't. They dominated this league in the regular season. They got to the Big 12 Tournament Championship game. And as I said all week long last week, I didn't think it was a big deal that the Big 12 or that the Houston Cougars lost the Big 12 Tournament Championship. In fact, I thought the timing was completely fine and actually benefited Houston. It would give them a little bit of oomph, a little bit of gumption going in to March Madness. And they needed that at the end of that Texas A&M game. There's no doubt they needed that. And then, of course, they had to pull it out in overtime. But for the Big 12, I'm just sitting back and saying to myself, I love this league, but it was a bust of a first weekend. And that's too bad. Now, in the conference, when you look around, you had five teams make it to the second round. You had Texas lose to Tennessee. You had Houston beat Texas A&M in OT. You had Baylor lose to Clemson, which really stung. I'll get to all these games in a second. Iowa State beat Washington State, and then you had KU get blown out by Gonzaga. So when you look at the best out of the second round of the Big 12 NCAA tournament, it was Iowa State. It was a balanced scoring attack. Gilbert, Lipsy, Jones all getting it done and doing exactly what you hoped this Iowa State team would do. Get to its second Sweet 16 in 3 years under T.J. Otzelberger, who is quickly becoming one of the best coaches in America. And it has been incredibly fun to watch him and this program just get better throughout the season. Not that they weren't really good early on, but they've just continued to progress. And it's team basketball, it's fundamental, it's defense, it's find the open man, it's take the good, the smart shot. Guys don't care who's getting the credit. It's just been a pleasure to watch this Iowa State team continue to get better all season long. Because that's what you've seen from this Iowa State program. And, you know, now they're a two seed. They're going up to Boston. And I'll tell you what, Beantown doesn't know what's coming. They have no idea what is coming with Iowa State and Cyclone Nation coming to town. I got a brother up in Boston, and I got to tell him to watch out for you guys and stack up on Busch Light as well. I'm going to tell him to sell Busch Light on the street corner at a premium. He'll make a fortune this weekend. Now, the Houston game. The Houston game is interesting because I'll tell this story personally. I'm not going to BS you guys. All right? For those of you that know, we just had our third daughter 3 weeks ago on Sunday, Charlotte Rose. So you know those first few weeks are tough, especially when you're on number three. I wake up at 4 a.m. for my day job. I host a morning talk show on KCMO Talk Radio 95.7 FM. So I wake up at 4 a.m. So I did the overnight shifts for the baby Friday, Saturday. Come Sunday, my wife says, listen, you sleep through the night, you got to get ready for work and all that. So Houston is up comfortably at halftime. They're up a few points, and I feel good about the game. So I say, you know what? I'm going to sleep. I wake up. I see what happened. And then earlier today, I watched the last few minutes of regulation of the Houston A&M game, and then, of course, overtime. And holy crap, that is some of the most entertaining basketball you're ever going to see. And thank you for the shout-out on YouTube for those of you that listen to the radio show here in Kansas City. thank you for the comment here. It's too bad Mundo can't be in two places at once. Bob Fesco on 610 Sports will be out of a job. You know, I am pretty confident that I could do sports talk better than most of the guys in Kansas City. I really believe that. But I have way too much fun during the day talking about everything else in Kansas City, news, politics, sports, whatever I want to talk about. I'm not just stuck in that sports lane, so I can do a lot more. But I do talk sports. But thank you for that kind comment there on YouTube. So I wake up at 4 a.m. I see the score. I watch the final few minutes of regulation. I watch the overtime between Houston and A&M. And I literally thought back to Houston losing the Big 12 tournament final. And I thought to myself, if they don't lose that game, do they beat A&M? It's a fair question. And then on top of that, you know, I'm looking at this Houston team that, you know, they're up, what, 7 points with a minute left. They're up 10 points with a 1:40 to go. They're in complete control of this game, and then they blow it down the stretch, right? Get to overtime. These are the kinds of plays and players that every championship-caliber team needs. Guys like Juwan Roberts. The diehard Houston fan is going to remember a guy like Juwan Roberts. The casual fan is going to have no memory of Juwan Roberts. They're going to have no memory of this guy's 13 points and 8 rebounds in the second round game against A&M. They're going to have no memory of his key offensive rebounds, his 6-for-6 from the field. Those are the veterans that you need on a championship caliber team, which Houston is. They're not the guys that get all the glory. They're not the Jamal Sheds. They're not the LJ Criers. They're not the Emmanuel Sharps, who had great games. But it's guys like Juwan Roberts that ultimately help you win championships. And I'll tell you what, this team goes into overtime. They've got their backs against the wall. They just blew a 10-point lead in under 2 minutes left. And what happens in the first possession of overtime? Houston wins the jump ball. Shed missed a three-pointer. Roberts with the offensive board. Emmanuel Sharp hits the three, and Houston's off to the races in OT. That's the kind of stuff that when you look back on teams that make championship runs, they make the difference. That's how you end up getting to a Final Four and possibly winning championships, with those kinds of guys making those kinds of plays that get overlooked, that don't get the attention of the big stars, but they make huge differences in huge moments in ways that turn the tide, that help you with momentum. And that's the kind of stuff that you got from a guy like Juwan Roberts and the entire Houston team, but specifically Roberts, in certain parts and key parts of that game. It was a heck of a game. It was one of the best games. I would argue the best game of the tournament by far in that opening weekend. And for the Cougars, they are going to a Sweet 16, and this team has its eyes set on, yes, a national championship, as it should. They are that good. I predicted last week I have Houston playing UConn for a natty. That's my national championship game. I have three Final Four teams left, UConn, Houston, and Creighton. I had Baylor in there as well, and the Bears bit me in the butt, which I'll get to here in a second. But, man, Kelvin Sampson's on a mission. I love this guy. I love what he's doing with this team, and Houston fans should be smelling that Final Four. Now, their path is not bad. I know it's Duke, but if you take Duke off the front of the jersey, I'm not all that concerned. I know they're playing well, but I'm not all that concerned. And then Marquette with Shaka Smart, compelling matchup. But once again, I think Houston's path is, let's say, much easier than Iowa State's path is. Iowa State's path is absolutely brutal. Iowa State has to take on the Big Ten Conference tournament champ in Illinois and then probably likely play UConn, the defending national champs, who are playing some of the best basketball in the nation right now. So that is going to be a tough road for Iowa State. Houston certainly got the easier path of those two, and there's no easy path, but they've got the easier path, I'll put it that way. Now, let me take a sip of water before I get to this next game, because this one is painful. Got to clear my throat. It's got me so pissed off. All right, we're all good? Okay, I'm good. Baylor. You guys, you had a chance to take the Clemson Tigers, to take their head coach, Brad Bronnell, and tell him to stick it where the sun don't shine. This after Bronnell made the ridiculous comment saying the Big 12 was manipulating net to help him look better in the national college basketball landscape. Baylor had, for the entire Big 12, had to stick it to Clemson and had to knock him out of this tournament and show him who's boss. And they couldn't do it. In fact, Clemson won the game. There is not a game that has had me more ticked off in this tournament, or frankly in any tournament in a long time, than Baylor just not showing up. That's the worst part. I mean, yeah, if you look at the box score, you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, well, they only lost by, what, 7-8 points. This game was out of reach. They put together a late 19-9 run when the game was basically out of reach. They got themselves to within a couple of points, so I'll give them that much. They got themselves to within a couple of points. But it was a bad loss all around. And Baylor now has not reached the second weekend of the NCAA tournament in three seasons. You got to go back to when they won the Natty in 2021 for the last time they got to a Sweet 16. Their run was too little, too late. And give Clemson credit down the stretch. Clemson, as the underdog, closed this thing out. When Baylor was making its charge, they were 8-for-8 from the free throw line in the final couple of minutes. And they deserve the win. But man, this one hurts. Because here was a coach who was talking smack against the Big 12 back in February when, you know, he basically said on a radio show the Big 12 was manipulating net. And here they are with a matchup in the Big 12, and Scott Drew's team laid a total egg. They couldn't buy a three-point bucket. I mean, you know, they didn't do anything well. And it was beyond disappointing. In many ways, it was the most disappointing Big 12 performance of the entire tournament. That's how bad this was and disappointing this was. So that one really stung. But you got to give credit to Clemson. They showed up, they showed out, and they get to the Sweet 16 where they will play against Arizona in Boston. So you'll have the Boston Regional, which will have Clemson, Arizona, and then you're going to have the late game, which is Iowa State, Illinois. That'll tip off at 10:10 local time in Boston, 9:10 our time. But it's ridiculous how late these second games are. Usually they were in the 6 o'clock hour Eastern time and then the 8 o'clock hour Eastern time. They pushed them back an hour, which is dumb. That Iowa State game is probably not going to start till 9:30. I bet it's not over till midnight on Thursday. I don't get it. I mean, I sound like an old man when I say it, but it's just ridiculous. And I know I say that with bias, with three little kids and a 4 a.m. alarm, but even if you don't have either of those things, do you want to stay up till midnight on a Thursday watching basketball when they could easily make this a game that is, over by 11 o'clock? If you're at the game, if you're an Iowa State fan and you're going to Boston, you are probably going to be in that arena until what? I don't know. I mean, 12:30 in the morning, give or take. That's how bad it's going to be for you. And I don't envy you at all. You're going to have a great time. But by the way, the players are going to be tired. Just ridiculous. So anyway, some of the other games. Texas losing to Tennessee. Now, I know most of us are going to just say, who cares, horns down. And I agree with you, but they're in the Big 12. Let me address it for a second here. If you told me that Tennessee would score 62 points and go 3 of 25 from three-point range, I would have told you that Texas wins running away. Tennessee plays in the 70s and the 80s. They don't play in the low 60s. But Texas couldn't buy itself a bucket either. And that's the problem in this game. Texas could not buy itself a bucket. And by the way, they got crushed on the boards by Tennessee, who had 14 offensive rebounds. They scored 19 points in the first half. So Rodney Terry is fine, but I'll tell you right now, I mean, that is an ugly way to end the season. Because if you had told me those things would happen for Tennessee, I would have said Texas takes care of business fairly easily. And of course, that did not end up happening at all. So that's just frustrating if you're an Iowa State fan. Meantime, the other thing I want to touch on here is the Gonzaga-Kansas game. So what happened there? What was that game all about? Well, Kansas was in it in the first half, and then they just got their doors blown off. They were up one at halftime and then got absolutely smoked. And you got to look at that if you're a Kansas fan, and you've got to say to yourself, what happened here? What happened is you don't have the depth. The team just was not that good this season. And a lot of people gave Bill Self a lot of crap for saying in the postgame, I've been thinking about next season for the last month. I don't mind that from Bill Self. And let me explain why. First off, I think about a lot of things. Like when I'm doing a show on the radio, I'm sometimes thinking about the next show. I don't think that's a big deal. Even when I'm doing the current show, you're always thinking ahead. You're preparing ahead. Everyone was like, minds were blown when Bill Self said he was thinking about next year a month ago. He has to. He's got to be thinking about, who am I losing in the transfer portal? Who's going away? Who do I have to start recruiting again or re-recruiting again? Who wants to get paid? How much do I have to pay this guy? You know, you got all these guys who can come back now for a sixth year. What is their storyline? What do they want to do? Who's coming back? Who's not? You have to kind of plan ahead. That's why now college football programs have these general manager type positions, because it's too much for a head coach. The game's moving too fast. I don't mind Bill Self saying that. And I think he knew if he could get this team to a Sweet 16, that would have been a success. That would have been a very good year for Bill Self had he gotten this team to a Sweet 16. He couldn't do it. It's okay. Now he's got to start from scratch. He needs to get some additions in the portal, and he did allude to this. He needs some depth as well. Kansas desperately needs to add some depth when it comes to what they've got going on in that program right now, because they had absolutely none. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. If you are just joining us and you're on YouTube, thumbs up on the video helps us more than you realize. YouTube is looking for those thumbs up. Like, they want to see you click that, because then they realize, hey, this guy Pete's okay. This video is pretty good. Maybe we like the Big 12 at Big Tech YouTube. Like, that's what they like. So hit that. it helps us more than you realize. Just that little thumbs up at the bottom of the video. And if you're on the podcast, same thing when you leave a 5-star rating and review. So thank you for doing that. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. And we are going to have a lot more coming your way this week. I can't wait. There's so much Big 12 still to talk about. And before you know it, we're going to be in off-season football mode around here. So you want to make sure that you are subscribed to the channel, on the podcast, on YouTube, because we are going to have all this stuff covered for you throughout what is going to be a very busy week here at Heartland College Sports. Let me get to some of your comments. Scott says, I would love to see the Iowa State-Houston final. Hey, Scott. I love that, brother. From your lips to God's ears, my man. Let's make that happen. Let's get that sucker done. I'm all in. And I said it when the show started. The Big 12 has had a disappointing NCAA tournament. However, if the Big 12 gets two teams to a Final Four, that would be great. And if you take it one step further, if they meet for a national championship, pinch me now. Okay? Pinch me now. Jeff says, Bill Self saw his problems, and of course he was caught looking ahead. Yeah, not a big deal. I'm not worried about that at all right now. Not worried about that at all. Rusty writes, the Baylor game was the template for this win by Houston. Up big, blow the lead, Bears tie the game, send it to overtime. UAH reasserts dominance, wins the game. That's very true. Very, very true. No, that's a very good point. I'm glad you brought that up, Rusty. We got Ryan, a UH fan, flexing. Also noting, I'm too young to remember Benny Anders did some things for Phi Slamma Jamma, the Fuel back in 83. Yes, that is predating me there, Ryan, but I love the enthusiasm, brother. Love the enthusiasm. What else do we have here? New comments. Who do you trust more? This is from Vark. Who do you trust more to go further, Iowa State or Houston? I trust Houston to go further because their path is easier, as I noted earlier. I got Duke, and then I got a Marquette team that's scrappy, but Houston's better than both of those teams if that's how it breaks out. If NC State beats Marquette, NC State's one of the hottest teams in the country, then it's a coin flip maybe, but still, it's Houston not only because I do think they're a little bit better when everyone's healthy, but they also have the easier path. Iowa State's path is horrible. Illinois, Big Ten, tournament champ, and then UConn. And you tell me, if you've watched this tournament, who you think is beating UConn right now. I don't see it. That's why Iowa State got a brutal draw. And, you know, I don't think they should have gotten the draw that they got, but it's the draw that they got. So they're going to have to live with it. And if TJ Altzelberger gets this team to a Final Four, I mean, start carving that statue now up in Ames. I'll tell you what, that's going to be something special. So thank you guys for being here. Hope you're subscribed to the channel. Check us out at heartlandcollegesports.com. And we're going to have a lot of good stuff coming your way this week with two teams in the Sweet 16. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. Go Big 12.